Well, good morning again. Happy New Year to all of you. I said that every time I've been all every church that I've ever been in, and it was this day, it was always a Happy New Year, because it is. It's a good new year. We're starting all over again, because that's how God works. He gives us the opportunity to start over again, and we need to start over again, because that's who we are, sinners who need to start over, because we're always failing, but he's always there to pick you up. And as I said to the young, our children this morning, Advent is that time when we can get a chance to start over, because guess who's coming? There was a movie called Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? Well, somebody's coming. It's our Lord Jesus. That's what Advent means, to come, to arrive, to be here. And that's what we should be looking forward to. As much as I'd like everybody's churches getting all decorated, it's not really a decoration season yet. I always tried fighting in my congregation up north. Let's hold off on the Christmas trees and the lights and everything just a little bit, because it's still a penitential season. It's still a preparation season. And I know you can't buck the tradition, I guess, anymore, and we got the lights and we got the trees up, and that's fine. As long as we remember that Advent is preparing for Jesus to come here, to come into our hearts, to come into this world again. We should be looking forward to him. And we have to look forward to him, because we can't go to him. As much as we think we can, the reason you are a Christian, the reason you're even sitting in this church today, is because God made it possible. Jesus made it possible. The Holy Spirit made it possible. Otherwise, you'd be out in the rest of the world doing whatever the rest of the world is doing this morning. And we know that because God tells us that. In two Psalms, he basically says, no one seeks righteousness. No one seeks God, not one of them. He's talking about the world. And then Paul repeats that in Romans. No one is looking for God. There's no such a thing as a real seeker, because we don't seek God. We don't want to. It's our human nature not to. It's our sinful nature that says, I don't trust in this, believe in this God. He's the one that's out to get me. Or we try to push him out so far out of our minds that he doesn't exist at all. The rest of the world's religions, their gods that they believe in, they believe that you have to go to them. The Muslims have their five pillars. The Hindus have their ten wheels of whatever it is you have to go to. Even the Jewish religion has their rules and regulations you have to follow. And many, sadly, even in the Christian church, still teach that you have to do certain things in order to reach God and make him love you. That's not the truth. We can't. We don't care. Our sinful nature is such that we don't care what the creator of the universe does, wants, or needs us to do. We just ignore it. So he comes to us. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned? What was it that they did? After they sinned, first thing they do is they run and hide. They hear God walking in the cool of the day, and they run the other direction. That's us. That's our nature. We go the opposite direction that God is coming, because we don't want to stand in front of him. Our sinful nature is such that we can't stand before the holy God. And so we walk away from him, we deny him, we pretend he doesn't exist at all. But Jesus, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, comes to us. He came to Adam and Eve. He went to them. He went looking for them, didn't he? And he found them. And they were scared. They were hiding. And they told him that. But he went to them. God goes to them. And he helps them out. He gives them good clothes instead of just fig leaves. He gives them a promise that I am going to fix this. I am going to send the Messiah who will crush the head of the serpent, as we sang in the hymn. I will crush the head of the serpent. And then later in the book of the Bible, we read where God comes to Abraham. Abraham was not a Christian. Abraham was not a Hebrew believer. He was living on the land of the of the Mesopotamia, where they worshiped all sorts of gods, but not the true God. But God comes to Abraham and says, come, I'm going to take you someplace. Follow me. He had to go to Abraham and make a people out of him. Later on, he would go to Moses. And how many times did he try to convince Moses, I want you to be the leader of my people. And Moses kept saying, I can't do this. I can't speak. I don't want to do it. I don't send somebody else. But he came to them because God's people were in trouble. Because God said, I am going to remember my people. I'm going to go to them and find them. Throughout the Bible, God is always adventing. He's always going to his people because we can't go to him. And that's a wonderful thing to know, that he does come to us despite our foibles, despite our sinfulness, despite our rejection, despite all that we are. He still loves you enough to come to you. That's the wonderful thing about our Lord. He doesn't wait for us to go and try to finally get our lives right. He doesn't wait until you do everything perfectly. He comes to you in your imperfections. While we were yet sinners, Jesus came and suffered and died. The Lord comes to free us, as he freed the slaves, the Israelites. He comes to free you from the slavery of sin. For everyone who sins is a slave to sin, and Jesus comes to free you from that. He suffers and dies on the cross so that your sins can be covered by his blood, so that the Lord God never sees your sins anymore, and you are now free. Free from his punishment. Free from his condemnation. You are now free to live as a child of God. And our Lord comes also to save his creation. As we read in the gospel reading today, he's coming back to recreate this world. The time, the place, don't know. God the Father only knows. But it's going to happen. And he's coming back. And that's the hope of this season, that he's coming back hopefully soon. Because we would like to have this world fixed. We would like to have our lives extended eternally. We would like to have our sinfulness gone. We would like to have our diseases erased, and our bodies made whole, and our lives made wonderful. And that's what he's coming to do. He gives us that promise and that hope. He's coming to where we are. When he first came the first time as a baby, he came just like that, just as you and I, in the imperfectness of the human condition. He came and lived it so that you can be certain that Jesus knows exactly what you've gone through. There's nothing in this world that he hasn't seen. Nothing in this world that he doesn't understand that you have gone through, that you need his help. Because that's what Advent is all about. Looking forward, but looking forward specifically at Jesus, at what he's done for you, what he's going to do for you, what he continues to do for you. He comes so that you can be his people again. Advent is also about our Lord coming to you day after day. It wasn't just at Christmas that he came, as I tell the children. He's coming again and again and again and again. And how does that happen? Every time you repent of your sins, every time you come up to this altar and receive his body and blood in your mouth, he is coming to you. Specifically, personally, he's letting you know. He's letting you know. He's letting all of you know individually. You are his people, and he loves you, and he cares for you. He's forgiven your sins, and he wants to give you everything that he has. Again, what a wonderful Christmas gift to know that you have eternal life, that you have the promise of a life that will be perfected. No more sin, no more disease, no more death. And how does Jesus come to us? He comes to us in his body, in his blood, in the water of baptism, And he comes to us in the word, the preached word of the apostles. He comes to you when you read your Bible, whether quietly or out loud. He's coming to you there too. He always is coming to us because that's what we need. We need him to come to us each and every day of our lives. And then we also look forward to the day he returns. When he returns in glory, when he returns no longer as the humble child in Bethlehem, but he comes as the king of the universe, out of the clouds with all his angels, with trumpets sounding, with the glory and wonder of heaven itself. And we're all going to see it at one time. Nobody's going to miss it. It's the show you won't miss. And it's going to be for you, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to come and save you and take you home. Now, during communion today, there's a new hymn. Some of you probably know it. I have no doubt that some of you do. It's new only in the sense of the words. The tune is the same as we sang for the Sanctus, we'll sing for the Sanctus in a little bit. So the tune's the same. But it's called Thine the Amen, Thine the Praise. The reason I chose that one for today is it talks about basically the three ways that our Lord comes to us. He comes to us in his birth. He comes to us in his holy communion. He comes to us on that last and glorious day of the end of the age. First verse, just some highlights of it. The first verse highlights Jesus as he comes to us in his body and blood. It also mentions his birthday, really, with the Alleluia angels raised. You'll hear that. That's what happened on the first Christmas. The Alleluias of the angels singing the praises of the newborn child. Second verse is going to talk to us about eternal life. How we get that. How do you get eternal life? Because he suffered and died. That's what he's doing for you. He came to suffer and die as a baby. For the rest of us, we think of a new child being born as a wonderful gift. But we don't think that child is coming to die. But this one did, so that he could forgive your sins. The third verse talks about peace, the peace and mercy and the life and the love that Jesus brings for all of us. The fourth verse talks about how Jesus is going to bring the least into his kingdom. And believe me, we're all the least. None of us are that special. Even in the eyes of the world, none of us are very special. But to God, you are. He died so that you could live. That's how special you are. You are the least, and now you're being brought into his heavenly kingdom. And then the fifth verse ends by talking about how Jesus is going to take away death, that grand and glorious last day of this age, when he's going to take away death, give to all of you eternal joy, and the celebration that's going to go on and on and on. The point being, we see him. We see him and him alone. Because it's Jesus alone who does this all. He did it for you. Because he loves you. And that's what Advent is about. It's about seeing Jesus. About seeing the Lord God who comes to you in his body as a baby, who comes to you in his body and blood at communion, and who's coming again in glory to take us all home with him. See, Advent's all about Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.